Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
I said it's because you had been learning wrong doctrines. The Bible said in 1 John 3 and 6, let's read together, 1 John 3, 6, it says, if you abide in me, it says, if you know me, it says, if you have seen me, it will all point out to one thing, you will not continue in your sin. Whoever abided in him sinned not. Whoever sinned had not what? Seen him, neither known him. So if you are abiding in him, if you know him, if you have seen him, you cannot sin. Are we together now? So what is if you claim you know God and you are in sin, the knowledge is false. That is why at the end of everything there will be vain worship. You are worshiping him with your what? Mouth and some decorums in church, bowing and etc. But your ways, your heart is what? Far away from him. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say now? So it is not because the human beings are bad people. I did a teaching here using artificial intelligence one time. I spoke about trained vectors and untrained vectors. Can you remember? And I said, every machine you see today, you know, there's one part of artificial intelligence called robotics. In robotics, you don't blame a machine when the machine is acting wrongly. You don't blame the machine. They are just innocent. What you blame is the, you know, we borrow the word in physics and maths, we call it trained vectors. Or we'll just say the programming, so that it will be very easy. There's a programming that will make sure the machines are behaving adequately. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Church, are you here? So when you program the machines properly, you know, when you do a programming, that's how we have what we call machine language in artificial intelligence. What you do is that you now put that programming inside of the machine. You connect the programming to the machine. If the machine behaves the way you want the machine to behave, then your programming was right, isn't it? If the machine behaved wrongly, then your programming was what? Wrong. You don't blame the machine. The machine is entirely innocent. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say now? If people behave wrongly, are the people bad? No. What is bad? Their beliefs. Their ideas. If people behave rightly, what really worked for them? The right ideas. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So that is why Paul, speaking to Timothy one time, he said, Timothy, guide your life by guiding your doctrine. He said, that way you are saving your life and the people who are what? Hearing you. So if you don't guide your life, if you truly love your life, you guide it by what? Watching out for your doctrines. Watching out for your beliefs. Because if you start behaving wrongly tomorrow as a preacher and your members are behaving wrongly, it is not their fault. It is because your doctrines are what? Wrong. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Yeah, even though we can sometimes have Judases, but it is not entirely like that 100%. It's just for the few ones. But ultimately, when people behave wrongly in a congregation, majority of the people, that means something is wrong with the doctrine. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Are you here? Would you still have people behave wrongly even if you teach the best doctrine? Yes. There are some people that Satan will always, you know, they'll fall a prey to the devil. You instruct them like this, they do like that. So it's not your fault. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Even with Jesus, while he was pastoring, he had one or two people who misbehaved. Not just Judas. I hope you know there were many who left Jesus before Judas misbehaved. In John 6, just like as I'm looking at the choir now, and there are some choir members sitting everywhere out there. It is, if you look at them, they are just like people that have lost touch with divinity. You just know that something is wrong with them. That is why they are not seated where they are supposed to sit. It is either they have disobeyed, they are not hearing word, you know, they did not come for Riaza. Hallelujah to Jesus. If not, why are your people sitting here with black? You are sitting there with purple. As I say purple now, thank God any of you that is sitting there is not wearing purple. but you are wearing whatever you are wearing. And as an usher, your ushers are guiding people, and you are seated receiving fresh air. You don't come for ushering riazas. Nothing. Or as a counselor, you can't remember the last meeting you attended. When they are seeing people have the church, it's not your business. You have attended church, you've justified everything. At least you did them a favor by attending. You see, you are worshiping God with your mouth, but your heart is what? Far. These are practical examples of what we're talking about. But your heart is what? Far away from God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you hearing me? You better reply me. Are you hearing me? Yes. Hallelujah to Jesus. So that's it. You don't blame the machines. You blame the ideologies ultimately. But sometimes people can still be stubborn. That's what happens in religious systems. Is it they shut the door to the kingdom? Go back there, Matthew 23:30. They shut the door to the kingdom. They wouldn't enter. Neither would they allow anybody to enter. Why? They teach wrong stuffs. They are proud. When you are bringing the right message, they refuse. Yesterday night, I saw something that I said to myself, should I be humble not to talk about it? But if I'm claiming to be humble not to talk about it, I'm actually being foolish and I'm adding to the foolishness. I was just smiling in the room. Not smiling because I felt nice that the person was talking like that. I was smiling because it had gone beyond frustration in my heart. I didn't know what to do but to smile. I couldn't believe what I was saying. The person was trying to prove something he did as a preacher. And he said, in his words, I didn't even keep the words in my heart, but let me try to remember some of them. He said he was sent, that God sent him to the tattoo Christians. That is his call, my goodness. We're in trouble. Amen? I wish you can block somewhere. Ladies, can we block that? Lock that door. Is it locked? It's locked. The door is locked. Okay. No, don't tell them to stop. Tell them to do another thing that they will not be saying amen. They should just be listening. Hallelujah to Jesus. So he said his call. My God. Who is teaching these people today? What are they doing? Hallelujah to Jesus. He said his call, amen, is to reach out to the tattoo people and the people with braided hairs and the rest. I don't know what my call should have been then. But you see, I was really disappointed. I was wondering, what part of scripture says this? Is it this thing about discovering a call for yourself as a minister? It has caused so much trouble. You know, one time someone was preaching, listen to me, humbly speaking, if we don't teach truth, you'll be in trouble. I tell you the truth. Because look at that kind of thing now. Some of you here now, you will think that your call is the bad character you have. Say, my call, I am called. I am called. You start hearing different funny calls. May God has called me to be bringing weak to the kingdom. God has called me into the lip gloss ministry. You hear funny things. If God can call somebody into tattoo ministry, why will not call you into jewelry's ministry? It's funny, but it's sad at the same time. Are we together? I remember a preacher said one time, he said, the call of God in ministry is like somebody that goes to the market. And when he goes to the marketplace, he sees different people selling different things. And somebody selling tomatoes, somebody selling jewelry, somebody selling... So you see, that's their call. What they are selling is their call. and you could just get what you need. When we all go to the market, we have different needs, isn't it? So when we enter the market, while I'm going to buy tomatoes, somebody's going to buy soup. Is that true? Yes. It makes a lot of sense logically, but it's wrong. Are we together? If you talk like that now, all of you seated here now, my call is to sell tomato, for instance. Some people seated here don't want tomato. What do they want? Pepper. Some want suit. Some want shoes. So as I'm selling tomato now, the tomato people are my members. The rest of you look for your pastor. It doesn't make sense. Because see, the message is Christ, and all that you need is in Christ. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? If anybody be in Christ, is a what? New creation. If you teach a part of the message as the gospel, there will be problem. You can't make people that way. Are you listening to me? People cannot be fortified and capacitated that way because you are teaching a part of the gospel as your calling. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Huh? The gospel is more like a forest. And imagine you go to the forest and you say mango is your message. Mango. When there is so much trees and plants in the forest. If you focus on mango, there's a limitation. When you eat mango all your life, you'll be lacking nutrients in other things because of other things that you are not eating, isn't it? Huh? Imagine you are eating... You know, I don't know if that thing works. Years ago, they taught us that if you eat carbohydrate too much, you get kwashoko. But if you observe in this state especially, 90% of our food is carbohydrate. I think we are missing it with soup. That is why the kwashoko has not come. For myself, if I don't eat onna in a day, the heavens cannot close. My wife is eternally, all her life, see the parables they are going to make on her, all her life. There is no day in her life she will not make on her. And some ladies are saying, God, Mumati is suffering. So if, for instance, you don't like on her, you cannot even marry me. As simple as that thing is, because I eat it every day. Sometimes I can eat in the morning and in the night I'll say, I still want it. Now imagine that what they said about carbohydrate is true. Which I believe is true, because I believe we're adding some soup and the rest. That's why we have not gotten the kwashoko. But have you seen somebody kwashoko before? Huh? Answer me, church. Have you seen somebody kwashoko before? Let me have seen, no. Some of you are saying no. Because you eat it with okra and the rest. I've seen somebody kwashoko. The body here is all dry. The stomach just came out. It's not like he's not eating, but he's eating one particular thing. I remember we were saying this thing one time. You cannot say your call is deliverance ministry. Your call is relationship. Your call is the miraculous. It's wrong. Listen, it's very wrong, no matter the height of the person. Because at a point, the people will be lacking in other areas. The message is Christ. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And it is in Christ that we are completely not lacking anything. If God wants the prophet, the apostles, the whatsoever, the fivefold ministry to perfect the saint, what we need to perfect the saint is the word. We read it yesterday, 2 Timothy 3:16. Through the word we create doctrines and we reprove people. And after reproving, what do? We correct and instruct in righteousness till the man of God is perfect. KJV, old. Perfect for God to use. Right? You know, the Bible did not tell us in Ephesians 4:12 what we will use as a tool for perfecting the saints. But 2 Timothy 3:16, the same Paul who wrote that part of scripture, complimented it. He said it is the word of God. Isn't it? And again, while he was teaching about Christ and the church, and you know, related with marriage in Ephesians 5, he said, husband in 26 of Ephesians 5, he said in 25, he said, love your wife as Christ loved the church. He said, and gave himself for her, 26, by the washing her with the word. So what do you use to make people? God's word. And it cannot be a part of God's word that you use to make people. Else there will be deficiency. Somebody may have kwashoko in the spirit. Yes, spiritual kwashoko, because he's eating just carbohydrates. Or he's just eating one particular kind of food. God cannot just call you and say your ministry is relationship ministry. There is no relationship ministry without Christ. It's not possible. Because husbands love your as Christ loved the church. If you don't know Christ, you cannot have a relationship ministry. In fact, there is no relationship ministry. Every church should teach Christ and find a time to teach on relationship. But if you call those things ministry, with time we will see the deficiency. And I got offended because at the end of the talk yesterday, he now insulted we Nigerian pastors. He said, "I'm not. Do you think I'm a Nigerian pastor? I'm a local pastor." I said, So we now are local pastors. He said, I was not born in this country. I'm not a Nigerian." He denied us because of a tattoo. And I got concerned because I know when people watch those things, with the way the church is going, not the church actually, with the way the world is going, the kind of worldliness they will bring into the church in a short. You see people, okay, now look at yourselves, turn to your neighbor, see how wonderful you guys look, see how very normal you look. You think this thing is just like that, is just working like that? You think all these boys here, all these boys you are saying in this church, they don't want to do dreadlock? They bond them with the spirit of not doing dreadlock. I bet you people, in the name of Jesus, if it was not the message these people were hearing, some dreadlock you'd have seen in this church would have blown your mind, especially the choir boys. You would have seen people dyeing their hair black, brown in this choir. I'm telling you the truth. One day it will shock you that Ola may even come with earring. Lift those hands to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. But you see why they are still behaving the way they are supposed to behave? It's because we have been teaching the message. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? I've been emphasizing that they cannot do this thing in this church. Not just preaching to them, but we are still warning them with one hand. Because at a point, Paul said, command and teach. They are not hearing. Command, then teach. Meaning when you teach, still command. So it's not good to wear your ring. Go, don't wear your ring in this church. You see, that's command and teach. Maybe you see one of your boys with earrings. It is wrong. Why are you wearing earring? It's not necessary. Blah, 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 blah. Then the next Sunday you see him. You still preach again. It's not nice to wear earring. Then another time when you see him, what do you say? Remove that earring. Maybe you know the hear word. Remove that earring. That's not command and teach. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And little by little, some of you have accepted those things. How did I know you have accepted the thing? The kind of songs you are putting on your social media. Some of you will share a content. I will see the person with dyed hair and I'll see hearing. In your mind, you have accepted it. That's approval. You will never see me post something with somebody that is dying and putting all the kind of a nose ring. I will not do it. If you like, call me local. You can, if you like, graduate from this church and go to another church and still be insulting me from there. We will still not do it. It will pain you. Wherever you are, it will still be paining you. We are not doing it. You will just see us like that. We will still be coming to this church. Everybody. And your parents will be thanking me because I know your parents will not support you to put tattoos. I mean, you have parents that support tattoos. Say amen. Okay. I thank God for Nigerian parents. Before gospel will come, flogging has already gone ahead of you. For some of you, your father will cut that part. Say, cut it. Alright, so we no disrespect to that man of God, but you see, that is very, very wrong. Are we together? It is very, very wrong. And I don't want you to ever imagine that kind of thing. Some things are very unnecessary. You don't need to do it. They will hinder the gospel. I told you yesterday how that Paul, I think it's the first Valentine service, the first service on Friday, how that Paul was saying he, as a preacher, has the right, according to the law and according to the teachings of Christ, to charge people and receive money for preaching. He said it in 1 Corinthians 9. He said, but he will not use the authority else he hinders the gospel. Now, let me use that to teach you something. If I put on earring now, some of you will like me as a pastor. You will still like me because you like that kind of thing. Say, wow, I love GCMI. It's dope, man. You may still like me. Some of you, that is the last day you may ever come to this church. Am I saying the truth? Say, something has happened to Prophet. Oh, I think we are in the last days. They say, why? I say, Prophet is wearing earring. Imagine now I have tattoo on my neck. And it's Jesus. I wrote Jesus here. Because now they say if you can write John 3:16, me, I can write Isaiah 29:60. You know, it's so funny. Write your favorite part of scripture. And when I try to look at the John 3:16, it's not John 3. You know the way we write John in English? This Roman figure. That thing is just, it's just dope in the flesh. Imagine I put it now. It's on my neck. I said, Jesus loves you. You are the righteousness of God. Oh, glory to God. And you were just praying in tongues. You were being fired up by the message until you just saw my tattoo. Say, what? Prophet has tattoo? They say he did it last month. Some of you will say you will never come to this church. Am I saying the right thing? Yes, you will never. Some of you, your parents will even call you and say, now your prophet has backslidden. Don't come again. That way I've hindered the gospel. Are you listening to me? I've hindered the gospel. Someone said, if you put on tattoo, will you go to hell? This answer is very, very deep. Listen carefully. If I see somebody just wake up, right? Take for instance, Sonny just wake up, come. And we just see Sonny in church with tattoo on his neck. Please listen to me carefully. Ushers, focus, don't worry. Just focus and listen. You see tattoo on the neck of Sonny? Just like that. Nothing happened. We are just doing church. One day, Sonny just came to our church with tattoo. Everybody will be wondering, what is really happening? Why would Sonny just stand up one morning and choose to put tattoo on his neck? Why? It will bring a lot of questions, isn't it? Could it be that if we are teaching the word of God and everything is going nice and he just decided to put a tattoo, something is wrong somewhere. Something should be wrong, what? Somewhere. What is happening to him? What is he hearing? Something should be wrong somewhere. And all we need to do right now is to try to check what is happening. There may be a lot of cover up. I told you last two Sundays about a preacher. He has closed his account now on Instagram and on Facebook. He has locked it. It's now private. They caught the man of God with a lot of evidences. He's sleeping with more than 5 ladies in the church. Now, I'm not saying this to mock him. I'm saying this because I want to teach you something there. He has long hair. He did long, you know, the way ladies plait their hair, very long. He has long hair. I'm not saying that's why he did it though. But somehow, when I saw the person, the first time I saw that guy preaching, I heard this message. He said something like this. He said, it is not your, you are not holy because of your dressing. You are not holy. Holiness is in the heart. You are not holy because of anything that is on the physical. And I asked myself a question. If you are truly holy in your heart, will it not show physically? Huh? As a man thinketh, so is he. Those statements are unnecessary statements. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And now you are proving it as a pastor that you are what? You are plaiting your hair. I was not truly shocked when the news broke out that he was doing that. A lady reported to somebody else. She confided on somebody. The person now collected all the voice notes that he was warning her and or begging her or abortion or something like that. And spread that one now. She confided on that one. That one confided on another person. The thing now goes to social media. So if I just see this young man stand up with tattoo, I know something is wrong somewhere. I can't really tell what's wrong, but I know something is what? Wrong somewhere. And if that thing is actually destruction, you know, let me say decay, that is eating him up little by little, that metamorphosed to tattoo on his neck. If he does not repent, he will not end up on the right side of eternity. Like I said, this answer is deeper than you can imagine, but try to just understand me. Meanwhile, tattoo. If you are born again and at some point you mistakenly went and put tattoo and repented, you will not go to hell because there's tattoo on your neck. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Does it make sense to you? Because you've already done it and now you repented, you know it's wrong, but if you try to remove that thing on your neck, your life will go. So what is tattoo on your neck compared to your life? Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Who will leave you? There is nothing bad there. After all, your heart is right with God now. But you will not just stand up after hearing all of this wisdom and say, put me a tattoo, let me repent. Doesn't make any sense. Prophet say if we repent, after we put it, it's not bad. Put it now. And after 2 months, you don't come and say, I've repented. You are being funny. If you say, will God forgive your sins? Huh? Okay, you now sin. Your sin is there. I want to sin. Let God forgive me. Are you not being funny? Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say right now? Because at that point, you are deceiving yourself. Hallelujah to Jesus. Am I making sense to you? One other point, religion is dangerous and evil because it replaces or seems to substitute itself with the original, which is the kingdom. I'll say it again. Religion is dangerous and evil because it replaces or seems to substitute itself with the original. What is the original? The kingdom. It's dangerous because when we go to a church that are religious, we substitute it for the kingdom. We think that that is how kingdom is supposed to be. So we have a lot of people that have a wrong perspective of kingdom, a wrong perspective of God, because they went to a religious atmosphere, a religious setting, and they are assuming that everything they are seeing here is how the kingdom of God is supposed to operate. Everything they are seeing here about God is how God is. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? That's why when Jesus came, people had a problem with him because he was redefining God to them. He said, he that has seen me has seen the one that has sent me. They never knew that God was friends of sinners. They saw Jesus sitting with sinners, eating with sinners, and they were angry. And at the end, Jesus said, he that has seen me has seen the one that has what? Sent me. How that Jesus will see the sick people and he will not ask any question who sin caused that sickness. He would get them healed. They used to think that God will punish people with sickness sometimes and etc. A religious belief. You know, the Pharisees asked Jesus at all. The Pharisees with the disciples, because the disciples were part of the culture of the Pharisees before they became disciples. They said, who sinned for this man to be born blind? That was their belief. It is happening today in religious setting. Some people think that the reason why they are in this predicament is because of something they did, or something their grandfather did, or it's something they planted in their village. Even though that things are existing, but it's in a lower pedestal in the realm of the spirit. They are not realities from the perspective of Christ. Where Jesus is far beyond principalities and powers. These things are not realities there. Jesus did not answer the question. He didn't bother to answer the question. Because in heaven, we don't talk about things like that. We just get the job done. It doesn't matter where the problem is coming from. Jesus got the guy healed. So yes, something may have been, they may have tied something in your father's side, your mother's side, but it's not a problem. As long as you are in Christ, don't major on those things. Just receive your healing and move on. Christ is not concerned about where they tie you, where they tie your father. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And that's why he didn't answer the question. But are we seeing it as a practice today? Yes. And it's dangerous because when people get into those places, they think that's how the kingdom operates. They think that's how God is. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? They create expectation in their life based on those doctrines and beliefs. So for instance, you are sick. Instead of receiving your healing, you believe because of something you did, that is why you are sick right now. You think that the reason why you are not healed is because of something you did, you committed, blah, blah, blah. No, the Bible says God even saved the willful captive. Don't even think that the reason why you are not married right now is because you made a lot of mistakes yesterday. No. Your sins have been forgiven. Are you listening to me? Not to the end that you keep on being foolish, no. But if you repent, your sins are forgiven. And listen, you can never be a victim of yesterday's mistake. It's not possible. He that the Son of Man has made free is what? Free indeed. You are eternally made free. You are not subjected because of yesterday's mistake, yesterday's sin. Say amen. And people are thinking like that too. All right, I'm already teaching my message. Because if you look at it, there's identification in it. All right, so I'll stop here. Hallelujah to Jesus. Not like I've finished preaching. Identification. So I know who I am. I know who I am. Shout it out. Say, I know who I am. I've been bought with a price. I'm God's own special purchase possession. I'm born again. Let me show you what it means to be born again. 1 John 3:9. Say, I'm born again. Again. Yeah, somebody say again. Let's actually say it again. Let's be together. One to go. Say it well. Wait. Don't say it like it's not true. Huh? I know some of you don't want that thing to come out from your mouth. But we're going to say it one more time with boldness. One to read. Now, personalize it. I am born of God. I don't commit sin. Now, make sure your neighbor is saying it. Shout it out. Good. Do you feel guilty? No, don't feel guilty. Even if you had sinned, this is the present you. That was the false you. You sinned because you don't know who you are. Now you know who you are. You are God's righteousness. You are born again. You can't commit sin. So what you do, don't expect yourself to commit sin. Don't have the consciousness of sin on your inside. Your born again nature cannot commit sin. Say, I cannot lie. No, I can't. I don't even think about it. I can't cheat on my wife. I don't imagine it. And somebody will look at me and say, ah, prophet, no talk. Oh. Life happens to people in mysterious way. It will never happen to me in mysterious way. My reality is the word. And the path of the just is as a shining light that shines brighter. You know, the world have gone into chaos to a point people don't even believe pastors anymore. Especially when the pastor is a prophet. Ah, we saw one prophetic stuff that happened with a prophet. And our pastor is actually a prophet. I'm not going to be successful in all of these things I'm saying because I'm a prophet. Or I'm a pastor. Or I'm an apostle. It is the name of the Lord that is a strong tower. Are you listening to me? Not the name that we call ourselves, that God has given us as prophet, apostles, and the rest. It is the word of God. You see, as pastors, what makes us successful as Christians is the word. Our faith in the word. There is no special grace to help us live right. We must have faith like we are teaching you to have faith on the word of God. Are you listening to me? It is not the office of a prophet that has been given to us for life and godliness. It is the word of God that we have received for life and godliness. So the way we teach you to have faith is the way we must have faith. And that is why when an apostle, a prophet, and whosoever don't understand the word, they can make mistakes. Like every normal human being. And you will not see the difference between them and their members. Like I always used to say, if a member makes the same mistake an apostle makes, there'll be no problem. But if an apostle or a man of God makes that mistake the member makes, there's a problem. And somebody may be saying, why are they judging the pastor? And the Bible teaches us that a man of God must be far from all appearances of evil. He must be found perfect in all his ways. That's what Jesus said. If Jesus said that, it is possible. I may have not thought that I can be perfect as a man of God the day God called me. But when I saw that there's a possibility for me to be perfect. Because God says I can be perfect. He's the one that wrote it. Alright, so I begin to study the word of God so that I can be perfect. Because if God said a man of God can be perfect in all of his ways, why not believe that? If the Bible says a born again person can be perfect and will not sin, why not believe it? Why are you doubting? Are you born again? Now say, I can't sin. Don't allow your predicament, the religious places you had been, control what you are saying right now. Some of you, the reason you can't say this is because of where you grew. Your background. You've been hearing all the wrong stuff. And you see, life can never happen to you better than how you see yourself. If you see yourself the wrong way, life will happen to you the wrong way. If you see yourself the right way, life will happen to you what? The right way. You can never enjoy life more than how you see yourself. A man can never make progress beyond the prosperity of his soul. It's not possible. So when I saw God's word, I created an expectation from the word. Like I spoke about AI, we all are more like machines. The programming is God's word. He puts that programming in our soul so that our body, the machines, behave exactly how the programming is in the realm of the spirit. You see that? So your flesh is just a faithful servant. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? You put the wrong things, your flesh will misbehave. You put the right things, your flesh will behave the right way. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Don't blame your flesh. Some people are trying to kill the flesh. You can't kill the flesh except you want to stop existing. Jesus dealt with the flesh. Do you believe that? Romans 6:7, a dead man is free from sin. Our identification is not just tied to what Jesus did on the cross and in the grave. In Metamorphosis Beyond That, I was reading a book by Kenyon. He said most Christians understand only what Jesus did on the cross and on the grave. They don't know how that we identify with him even on the throne. You see that? We died with Christ. We were buried with Christ. We resurrected with Christ. We are seated together with Christ. So don't just see what happened in the grave, on the cross. See yourself on the throne. Seated together. Tell somebody I'm in charge. I live in glory. So we died with him to the end that we are now seated together with him. We are in the place of authority. Oh, glory to God. Say, I can't say. Hallelujah. Amazingly, I was seeing a material from Catherine Kuhlman. I just felt led to see a material lately. And she was talking about secret sins. So I wanted to know her perspective about secret sins. You know, we were taught in our days that secret sins are only limited to some habits that Christians have, more like, especially around sexual immorality. And I was so perplexed when she was breaking it that even offense is a secret sin. Offense. That yearning for approval is a secret sin. I saw it from her. She said you will never show the fullness of your potential if you are looking for approvals. I said, oh, what better? But I think I should listen to Catherine Kuhlman. For the kind of impact she had, I should listen to that. Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, offense is very dangerous. Like you are seated right now, offended at somebody. It's secret. Only you know it. Only you know it. You're offended. The word of God is coming and just falling on the ground. You are just hearing it with your ear. It's not entry because you're offended. In fact, some are offended at the right people, not the wrong people. The person that told them that what you are doing is wrong, they now got offended at the person. And that's the worst kind of offense that can happen to you. That you look at somebody who told you the right thing and you're offended. The Bible says, better are the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. I always tell people, do you know me anywhere before you came to BSU or Benue State? No. We met here for one business, to perfect you, to cause you to do the work of God, isn't it? So why will I be pampering your foolishness? Where do you know me from? I'm supposed to teach you the truth. I'm supposed to tell you what? The truth. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? I'm supposed to tell you the truth. Except I don't want you to fulfill destiny. So if you have a bad character, I will not tell you have a good character. Your pastor should have that liberty to tell you all the bad things in your life and the good things in your life. If everybody is scared, not your pastor. Be that humble. Are you listening to me? Because we're supposed to give you doctrine, reprove you, correct you, instruct you in righteousness. Like I was teaching yesterday before the relationship summit, I said, how can somebody think you're fulfilling destiny? Now imagine I have $10 billion in my account. $10 billion. I wouldn't stop teaching you the way I'm teaching right now. I will make the teaching more interesting. I'll make it more interesting. Hallelujah to Jesus. One of the things I will buy is a machine that will detect who is sleeping and hit the person. I'll buy it. I'll put it on every row with cane. So that if you just do your eye, it'll just give you pia. I'll make sure you are focused in church. So there'll be warning if you want to go to that church, no sleep, but they will flog you. You get a machine where they flog people for that church. Because if fan, now you see some of this fan that is blowing, now I'm seeing some people doing like, what if I put AC? You know, I wanted to say I would make it conducive, and the first thing I wanted to mention was AC, but I just saw one lady doing like this. That's why I now called machine for flogging people. But of course, I'll put AC. For a few people's sin, I will not deny everybody AC. I'll put AC everywhere. I'll build something more better than this. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? The first thing that came to my mind, that when I thought about 10 billion, is the work of God. Why would I not have the 10 billion? Why? 10 billion. 10 billion now, water. We'll touch it. If you don't have skill now, if you don't want to have skill, I'm not talking to you. I've told you, instruct you different times. If you are not doing it, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to us. I have skill. We'll touch it. Are you here tonight? Another thing I will employ. I will do a lot of things that will make sure the gospel will have bosses. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That this kind of son in our son will just travel to Ikpayongo and go and preach. So we'll go to Konshisha and go and preach. Is that not nice? We can have a helicopter, like three of them. So that you can go and come back and join second service. I was hearing a man of God, he said, I travel from one state to another in less than 50 minutes. He said, what do you think about that? And people were just looking at him. He said, prosperity is good. Not the wrong kind of prosperity, the right kind of prosperity. How many of you will receive a car if you are given a car today? If you will not receive, put your hand down so that God will know people that will not receive. If you will receive a car, if God wants to give you a car today, wave your hand up. Alright, it will happen to you according to your faith. As I said, that some people are now raising their hand up. Alright. How many of you reject a car? If a car comes to you right now, like you reject it and sold the money in church for the vision project. Now I want you to be real with me. Be real with me, people of God. Are you seeing what is happening in this church? Only 2-3 people, less than 5 people raise their hands and say, yes sir, I will sell. The rest are being real to me. Pastor, I'm not selling that car. God will bring money for that building project. Hallelujah to Jesus. And I like when people are sincere. It's nice. Amen. How many of you collect an helicopter if they dash you down? Now, if you not collect, just put your hand down. Just don't make sure the Lord is seeing. You collect an helicopter. If somebody says, I want to give you an helicopter, take. Why will you not reject it? You see, this prosperity of a thing, it's not bad. The only thing is that people don't like people that are boastful with it. If not, it's not bad in its purest form. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? It will facilitate the kingdom better. Far better. And I declare you have a lot of money in the name of Jesus. You touch a lot of money. You know, this year is the year of the flight. Money coming to you in the name of Jesus. A lot of them. I'm seeing people with cartons of money in the spirit. Cartons. Yes, carton. You just have a lot of money. Dollars. In the name of Jesus. And let's be seated. You see what money can do to a service, right? It can steer the energy of people in service. If this was a money service now, oh my God. People would have been shouting, para-ka-ka-pa-pa-ka. Money is the reason why some people have not come back to Makurdi now. People like Betty, where is she? That's not resumed. Money. 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 See, our younger sister Rejoice is here. I think we should call her Betty and call Betty Rejoice. So that I want to gather all the money in the world. You know, people, when they hear money, they are scared. Whew. Sometimes I wonder if people were me, they would just be fainting on the road. That your rent is about to expire. You don't have one naira, yet you are still nice to people and you are still giving people money. You just know the rent will come. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You just know, you are not worried. So, why are you crying? My rent is not in place. I've never owed any landlord in my life. I've never cried and said, God, I feel like in the Michael will laugh at me. All I have to do is to be in faith. I'll share with you people. I said, the way God blesses, you know, when God does little manifestations yet, He's actually trying to sear the fact in your heart that He can do all things. We were in service last Sunday, someone sent $1 million in the account. I was telling my wife, this is not the height of it. God is doing this to paint a picture that if you start that project in faith, the money you are thinking about will come very easily. Because we never told anybody to send $1 million. We never were preparing for $1 million. And somebody just sent $1 million. Not just to the church. Personally, sometimes it happens to your life. Haven't you just sit down, somebody thought of giving you money? All you need to do is to be in faith. As long as you are worrying, God can never happen to you. I love Christians that are just mental assenters. They don't know how to be in faith. Little problems, they are crying. Little problems, they are worried. They can't eat, they are worried. The rent is almost going to be expired. They are. In fact, some of them will say they are. What's that word they use? There's this word these Gen Z people used to use very well. Depressed, trauma. Thank you. I'm in a trauma. You don't know who you are. You are a son of the king. Your father owns the whole world. But if you don't know this, if you think your father is more of Ame, than Josina Yahweh, there'll be a problem. Because you see Ame more of your father than Yahweh. So you know Ame's condition. But if you understand Yahweh is your father and understand his condition, he's not broke, never been broke, can never be broke. The street of your father's kingdom is gold. This is how you have faith from. You may not have the money right now, but if you think like this, it will build your faith. To build your faith. You may be doing something small right now. This kind of understanding will boost your faith. The signature of God is the overflow. In scripture, when he multiplied fishes and bread, there was so much basket remaining. Anybody God comes to and contact, there's an overflow. But what brought them to God? What brought God to them? I mean, faith. Not fear. Faith. For fear is a snare. Without faith, it is impossible to what? Please God. Fear does not please God. That simply means your tears cannot please God. Father, please. Father, please. That does not please him. He's disgusted by that character. Yesterday, I was driving and the Lord was teaching me about the shield of faith. The shield of faith. That faith is a shield. Faith can stand out as a shield. And if you remember the Roman folks, the shield is something they make with iron, isn't it? They put at the front and at the what? The back. Thick, very thick iron. Meaning when you are trying to protect yourself with the breastplate, the shield of faith is something you hold like this. I'm trying to talk about the breastplate of righteousness. You wear it on your front and your back. Meaning that God's word can work, act as the breastplate of righteousness in your life. In that when you are not seeing the enemy, you try to protect with the shield of faith. You are not probably seeing a bullet coming by night or by day. Somehow you are fighting and an arrow is coming from the back. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? That shield of that breastplate of righteousness should be able to what? Protect you from what you are not seeing. But what you are seeing, you can use your hand, with the shield of faith and protect yourself. What you are not seeing can hit your chest and fall to the ground. I don't know that you guys are getting what I'm trying to explain to you. In other words, if you know who you are, all right? If you truly understand who you are, there is nothing in this world that can put you down. Whether you know about it and don't know about it. Because you understand your place in God as his righteousness. And righteousness, as Paul explained, he related it with breastplate. Thick iron at the front and at the back. You are heavily protected. In righteousness, you are established. You can't lack. It's not possible to walk in lack. Even if you see it right now, that's not your end. Then you get excited. Why are you happy? I know this present situation I'm seeing myself is not my end. I know God, but if you are worried at the same time, you can't be worried and be in faith at the same time. You just find out that you cannot even make up again. You cannot look nice again. You don't want to dress well again. Because you are about to pay your rent. Because you cannot eat properly yet. And you know what kills faith? A lot of times you begin to look for human factors to come inside. Somebody is in faith and wants to borrow. It doesn't work that way. Am I saying borrowing is bad? No. Of course, borrowing to some people is bad. There's some people that have the culture of borrowing, and that's what I'm talking about. They can never be in faith. The slightest need that comes, they want to borrow. The slightest need that comes, you want to borrow. I mean, there are times somebody may want to borrow, and you truly understand with those people. But this one, on the slightest need, you want to borrow. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you going to be careful? As I pastor people, I see characters. Many years ago, I remember, I was I was talking to leaders, and I just started pastoring some of these people years ago on campus. And we're talking, and how somehow the conversation tilted towards where I found out someone borrowed, a lady. And I said, "Why did you borrow?" She said, "Because I did not have. That's why I borrowed." I said, "Have you returned it?" She said, "No." I said, "How many people have you borrowed from?" "I think like three people or two people yet. And you've not returned?" She said, "Yes." I said, "In your life, say this word with me." She said, "In my life, I shall never borrow again." I said, "In this church, you'd never borrow." I did not even preach so much. I just told her, "You will never again in your life borrow." And that's how I killed that demon. And I got offended somehow. I was like, "Why are you a lady and the slightest need? You are borrowing. Why?" If you grow like that, you will borrow from a lot of people and you become a disgrace, a public disgrace to yourself. Because when you start entering into that kind of life, before you know, you start lying. You borrow. You want to now collect to pay that person. So you will lie. Before you know, you have lied some serious lies. Terrible lies. I asked somebody one time, I said, this thing you want to borrow for, will it kill you if you don't do it? I said, no. You will not die, but I said, yes. I said, don't borrow. Since you'll be alive. If God does not give you the money before time, it's okay. But if you have it, fine. Some will have it, some will not have it. And it's very okay. The righteous does not beg. He does not beg. Imagine you have a pastor that you have heard his stories everywhere that is borrowing. Can you sit in this church? Oh, the pastor is borrowing from his members. I submit to you, all my members are here. I've never borrowed from anybody in this church. As a pastor, did I always have my needs met? No. There were days that I didn't have what to eat as a pastor. I'm telling you the truth. But I can't borrow money from you to eat. It's not possible. There's an image I wanted to keep, and thank God, God sustained me. He helped me to keep that image. I can't be preaching to you about God's provision. I will tell you, give me some of the provision. No. Are you listening to me? I said a story one time where somebody caught me boiling well water in campus, 100 level, second semester. True life story. Caught me boiling well water. As I'm saying it, even Oche will be surprised. Because he used to be a member. Those days. So I'm sure he never heard this. Or they never figured it out. He's in his master's currently. So he used to be a member those days. He just entered my kitchen and he saw me sieving the water. I was trying to put it in my small fridge. Oh. I was trying to sieve the water, put it in a gallon, you know, this bottle, sorry, so that I'll put it in my fridge, let it cool, then I'll drink. And he just saw me, he said, Prophet Simon! I said, hi, how are you? He said, Prophet, no, 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 no. He was crying. One of my boys. Prophet, no, 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 you can't be doing this. I said, can't be doing what? This water is even purer than your pure water. Because at least I'm the one that is boiling it. That one, do you know that they used to even boil, do anything in that water? You will be drinking. They call it pure water. I wish you see where they make some of them. You know, when my dad started a pure water company, I made sure I joined to see how they purify the water. Because I just wanted to be justified when I'm telling people we sell, we have bags of water, we produce water. So I made sure we followed all the right process. Hallelujah to Jesus. Because even me too, I'll be drinking the water. Amen? And he cried and called a few of our people. I told them that, Prophet, he says, I will tell people. He called. He was reporting me. That evening, they filled my kitchen with all the wonderful things. You can never imagine. Sister, we are here. We are here. You cannot be doing, you cannot. What is he? It's not about you are here. It's about my dignity as a preacher. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? It's not like God will not provide. He will provide some sort of. I remember one of those days, I didn't have what to eat. I was telling my wife the story. I didn't have what to eat. And I don't know if it happens like that. Some of you are into medicine, will help me. That you don't have what to eat and you'll be salivating too much. Saliva will be coming out from your mouth very well. Is it supposed to be like that? Okay. I couldn't sleep. Saliva was just coming out from my mouth. I was vomiting saliva. I was just at the restroom with my head inside the restroom. Because I couldn't sleep. My eye was so sharp. Nothing to eat. I prayed, and I said, let me just reduce the prayer because I want strength. 5 a.m. my eyes were sharp because I could not sleep. I was still vomiting saliva. Somebody just came to my door. Bo. I was feeling like it was emergency prayer. And believe me, I would have gone and prayed. But the problem is that I didn't really have the strength to trek anywhere because I didn't have a car that time. So if that person wanted emergency prayer that day, you book my ride, I'll climb bike, you pay, I will not pay for anything. I made up my mind, so I was reluctant. I said, please, who is that? Please, who is that? This is too early. First, I said, sir, it's your boy, so. The person said that was coming did not know what was happening to me, so I just arranged myself. You know, I can't be caught in that situation. How are you, young man? Say, I'm fine, sir. What do you want to do by 5 a.m., 4 a.m.? Say, sir, I want to sow a seed. I say, You want to sow a seed by 5 a.m.? Why did you not wait till your morning time when you come? The Holy Spirit now say, really? They should wait. You want people to be waiting? You don't mind waiting, right? If they waited, oh my God. Probably I was supposed to die by 10 a.m. So they came early because I should eat and not die at the time I'm supposed to die. When he gave me the seed, he was going to say, bless you, bless you. When he went, I knelt and said, God, you are real. You are real. At that time, it was 5,000. 5,000 was big money that time. I was just waiting at the front of my door. I came out, I sat down. The cock was coo, coo, coo. Different things were happening. I was waiting for shops to open. He made the open. How are you, my man? You opened late today. Oh, yeah, give me tea. Give me all the tea things. Give me bread. Plenty. Plenty bread. Give me. I was just buying stuff. That 5,000 was able to buy eggs, bread, these. That time. You know, now you cannot buy crate of egg with that. It was 1,050 naira. There was a time crate of egg was 500. That time it was 1,050 naira. I bought crate of egg. I bought some things. I was able to even buy plenty gari, and I was able to buy semo. Some of you will not believe what I'm saying. It will be like his movie. If you see my kitchen that time, God is real. Because I said I will not beg. He pulled himself. Another time again, I remember my gas finished. That one, it was no money problem. I wanted to own gas. See, I had had a supernatural encounter where my gas finished and the gas still cooked my food. The second time I spoke to the gas, it did not cook. I spoke to it again and said, in the name of Jesus, I own you, cook this food now. It just went back. I knew I was in trouble. I didn't bother again. This is the second time. Meaning God is telling me that you did not use your sense. So I'll show you Shege this morning. If not, wisdom entails that when gas was finishing, I should go and what? Add it. And I just put the rice on the fire. As I put the rice on the fire, it just went on. Just went down. The rice was just there. So I just entered my parlor and I sat down and started watching the preacher, knowing that I'm finished. Funny enough, there was no even gari to soak. If there was gari without sugar, I would have no problem. There was no gari because I'd been preaching and I was not part of these people. Yeah, you know, I told myself I would not be soaking, so I don't even use to buy it. You know, I ate gari till they warned me about gari. My neighbor those days on campus, one woman, she's married now with kids. She used to be my neighbor when she was still a lady who was not married. Anytime I eat gari, she would just come outside. Simon, I've been warning you. You're like my child. Oh, are you listening to me? I can burn you. Don't be eating gari like that. It will blind your eye. She would not tell me to enter the kitchen and carry milk. I would not put plenty milk and all the beautiful things. She said, anytime you want to eat, enter my kitchen, whether I'm around or not, take one of the key. But I was ashamed. So anytime I want to eat, and she always used to warn me. So at a point, I found that, yeah, gari used to make people blind, so I stopped eating gari. Then I, you know, some people are saying, if I don't die, if I don't blind right now. So I didn't have gari in my house. But I told myself, I refuse to beg in the name of Jesus. You know, I can command a member and say, cook something that night. But I didn't want to do those kind of unnecessary stuff. And of course, if it was a member, it cannot be a man. I don't eat men food. I hardly eat men food. For the record, even yesterday, somebody brought food for us. I was a man. So I looked at the food. I said, you cook? He said, yes. I said, Sister, I'm a chef. I say, I know the problem is that I don't believe in men ministry in food. I don't believe in it. Early in the morning by 5:30 to 6 a.m., somebody was knocking my door. Book, 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 book. As I opened the door, guess what? Fried rice, chicken, salad. I said, man, why this early? She said, Pastor, you have eaten this your closest neighbor food before. She told me. And she told me she is now blessed. I said, So if I eat food now, people are blessed. She said, me too, I want the blessing in my home. That's why I told myself before you go out, anytime I'm finishing, I finish cooking, you'll be going out, Pastor. But today I told myself, I woke up very early. I finished the food, sir. So you must eat my food for me to be blessed. Except you are telling me you don't like me in this compound. I said, madam, why will I hate you? Oh yeah, now bring this food. I forgot to brush my mouth. I tell you the truth. Because what am I brushing my mouth for? I didn't eat last night. My mouth is still fresh. You see, if you have faith in God, I can't tell you this several times. I remember one time I wanted to pay my rent. One day. So my principle is 1 month ahead. One day to a new month. I told the Lord, you know, imagine somebody 1 month to pay your rent. You are worried. You are praying. So people will be like, I know, no, the thing is still far. We still get 2 months extra after. And I was praying, Lord, I want to pay this rent. I want to pay this rent. And I prayed and slept off. Then while I was sleeping, I was there, boom, 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 in my phone. I thought it's empty. When I woke up, my rent entered all. Somebody called me and said, sir, I had this burden to send all of my money. I remember, sir, I had this burden. How did I pay my rent? Works like magic, right? If you are in faith, life will be like magic. Learn to walk in faith. Tell somebody walk in faith. I tell you the truth, but if you are walking in fear, it will not work. You will not see all of these stars. Are you listening to me tonight? Bow your heads and pray. Thank the Lord for His word. Thank Him for His word.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.